goes high towards Taylor. Walsh got there ahead of him though. Moncaire plays it back in again and no offside. And Taylor has scored. And that surely means it's the Premier League for Swindon Town now.
Hello and welcome to episode 23 of the Washbag Swindon Town FC podcast. It was a real battling performance by Town yesterday against Peterborough. Eventually secured a 2-1 victory over the Posh, thanks to Niall Ranger and Yasser Kazim. It's a win that really keeps Town in touching distance of the playoffs. And also we've also got the important game in hand. So it's been a bit of a quiet transfer window so far for Town, but only George Barker's signed. Fortunately, no Town star or Spurs loanee has departed, and it's... To talk about all that, time to welcome my guests and welcome back Ian Watkins.
Hello, Ron.
To the podcast. Hi there. And Andrew Still Davis joins us. Hi, Andrew.
Good morning.
And
how you doing?
You've taken on the role at Flick Wiltshire.
Yeah, I'm now their sports editor, and a large part of my job is to report on Swindon Town. So that should ensure that I'm never sat idle. So I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, we'll get you on with Sam Morshead on here in the future to kind of talk about things, maybe fresh out a couple of issues perhaps. But. Start off with the old Peterborough United game, and it was a big surprise in the pub before the game. Follow on Twitter when the teams were announced, Niall Ranger's back. Hear about Lee Power's comments before the game that the players demanded, perhaps at gunpoint. I don't know that.
Yeah, it was a strange one.
It's a weird one
because Lee Power said on the radio that I'm just trying to get this clear in my head now that the. It was the players that had requested it. And then Mark Cooper after the game said something slightly different in that it was more Niall that had led the plea and the players kind of backed it up. So
yeah, I mean, the quote from Cooper after the game was, Niall came to see me and wanted to apologise to the players. It was put to the players if they wanted to give him another chance, and I think in football terms they want him in the team, but the off-field stuff they feel let down and they've let him know that, but they've decided we're a better team with him. You know, within the team, Andrew, I mean, you can't really deny that Swindon are a better team with Ranger in. But, I mean, what was discussed in the press circles?
Well, from what I understand, it was Niall Ranger who made the first move in that he did go and talk to Cooper. And then he did go and apologise to his teammates. I think that's the more correct of the two stories. As I said, that's only my understanding. But yeah, as you said, you know, the players know that they're a much better team with Niall on it, because when Niall's on his game and he forgets all this off field stuff he's got around him, he probably is one of the best players in the league without a doubt. And he showed that yesterday, didn't he? And he was immense. You know, his hold up play, the amount of times he got back and helped out defensively, and Peterborough were a real threat from set pieces again yesterday, especially near the end when they were throwing everything, including the kitchen sink at the Town defence. He was back there helping as well. And obviously his header, his goal was sublime, wasn't it? It was a thumping header. And it's hopefully, I think this whole him coming to apologise, you know, how many, he's been given a lot of chances already, so we'll see how it unfolds. But
I mean, what's the reason why he's now decided to kind of, you know, I really need to sort something out, I need to get back in? Is he trying to get a good character reference from the club when it comes to the court case, or what's going on really? I mean, it's, you know, it's a strange that now, I mean, after a couple of months, you know, this has been rumbling on him since October, really, when he's kind of been missing training and there's been the odd games.
I think it's quite hard to pinpoint exactly why. I mean, Niall will know in his head.
Whether
with the court case coming up, he'll know whether or not he's guilty. Whether or not he's found guilty is again, it's up to the courts, to be honest. But honestly, I don't know. Maybe he's thinking, I'd like to play a few more games before the court case, or maybe he's thinking more long term. As I say, as all press has sort of denied access to him, it's very hard to find out exactly what's going on, and it'll probably become clear over the next month what's going to happen. So,
well, that's the key. Like I said, in terms of press access, I mean, I haven't heard any interviews with him from BBC Wilkes, or there hasn't really been any sort of stories in the paper. I mean, to press access, Andrew, you know better than
There was that one interview with Niall after the Bristol City game, which is the only one to date, which was obviously cut short because the question was asked, which wasn't to the club's liking. I think, for obviously I speak to myself, but I think it's the case with most of the other members of the press is that I've managed to grab a quick word of him, sort of just in private, just going into the ground on the match day. And Coops has said throughout the week and throughout the last couple of months that the strange thing is when you talk to Niall on a person-to-person basis, he's a really, really nice guy. And I think going back to the question about why has he all of a sudden come back and apologised, I think Niall is obviously very, in his head, he's obviously all over the place and there's a few issues there. And I think, and I'm not condoning what he's done, of course I'm not, but I think he has always been very easily led. And I think he's got a circle of friends, if you can call them that, that influence what he does. So I think there's almost this, you know, almost two voices in Niall's head, which is, you know, he's been, you know, one is telling him to go back to this circle of friends, which are obviously a really bad influence on him. And then the other one's almost as if the football in Niall, which is, you know, he knows he's talented and he wants to show everyone, you know, what he can do on a week in, week out basis. And I do think him going back to the club and apologising to Cooper and apologising to the players is generally part of him trying to break away from this bad influence and try to make a name for himself and try and stick out trouble. As I said, you know, we're not sure how it will last because he's been given two or three chances by the club.
Well, that's what Cooper said post-match, that, you know, this in the end it's just words, he's just got to prove it. And I think he said that if he's coming in on time 2 days in a row, 3 days would be a miracle. So we'll see what happens on Monday on that front, really. So I mean, we'll sort of go back to the game, really. I mean, Andrew touched on Rangers' goal, so important that was for Town and to get that, because pretty much it was a bit of a Peterborough show, particularly the second half as the sort of game developed. They were a good team coming to the County Ground. I would say probably one of the best. They were probably up there with some of the better teams. I mean, Ian, what's your sort of summary of the game, really?
I think they'll feel a bit hard done by. Peterborough feel a bit hard done by that. They've come away with nothing. I think, as you say, second half, they certainly deserved more than the one goal that they got. They obviously disallowed one that I've not seen since, but it seemed borderline, if I'm honest.
That was a Sobolonga one, wasn't it?
It were quite possibly two players sort of in and around the sort of the goal line. It was just, I mean, the issue that some people had at the start of the season was, is this team going to be able to grind out results and battle for results? And that's exactly what we did yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, we did not create a whole host of chances. I mean, we certainly had more than the two we scored, but it was a very well-earned 3 points against a decent team. Like I say, probably not the best we've seen there, but it bodes well, I think, certainly for the next couple of months, where it's going to be a bit more sort of hard work over necessarily playing well.
Well, it is. I mean, because we've got a lot of the big teams to play at the County Ground left, Rangers, even Wolves and others to come. Yeah. It's fantastic to actually see. It was like a cup game. It was like Swindon were playing a top Championship team in terms of the dominance. I mean,
right? Yeah,
yeah. And how at the end, and that we obviously got the early goal, and they were just trying everything as possible to get back into the game. I just see Cooper at the touchline. Just say, just press them. Just come and keep pressing them. But the Town players, I don't know if it was they're getting tired throughout the game. They were just sitting so far back all the time, and. I mean, I'm so surprised it says Peterborough running 55% possession. It seems like Town probably, particularly that second half, it was so dominant, really. But they still didn't get a massive amount of shots on target.
No, I mean, there's
many shots.
There are a few last-ditch tackles. I mean, Branco, probably three or four, sort of just clearing the ball away.
But there was the one in the first half, wasn't there, with Branco?
Yeah, where the sort of ball broke. Was it a quick throw and it kind of broke down?
Yeah,
it was a great
And it kind of slipped between two and Britt was through on goal.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a Nathan Thompson one as well, first half, where I think the ball came out to Tommy Rowe and Nathan Thompson put a last-ditch block in there, which you know, it was just a proper game of football, is how I would describe it yesterday. It was just, you know, what you'd like to go and see week in, week out, really. And
well, I don't know about that, actually. It was good and exciting in terms of, the end, we, you know, came away with a victory, but, you know, just, you know, how you know, that second goal for Town was so against the run of play.
Yeah.
And I don't... I mean, I'd rather not be on that side. You know, to come away with a victory is fine, but to...
Obviously,
grind out the result, but we can't do that week in, week out.
No, obviously, I would, you know, week in, week out, it'd be nice to see Town be more the Peterborough mould. But from a reporting point of view, if I could report on a game like that week in, week out, I'd be very happy, because it was a pulsating game of football. It was end to end. I thought first half, I thought probably on the balance of play, Peterborough the better team, but I thought Swindon had their moments in the first half as well. Mm. Alex Pritchard tried his best to impose himself on the game at times in the first half, but found it a bit difficult just with the way the game was going. He did, I think there was one.
Where was he playing in the first? I'm trying to remember.
Right wing.
He wasn't
he? He wasn't getting a lot of supply to me. I mean, no. There were two occasions where he's absolutely done the left back, and I just thought, we've got it. If we can get him more on the ball in the second half, I mean, he sort of tailed off second half. But I only really remember him on two occasions running at the defence in the first half, and I was thinking, well, we need to do that more often. I mean, the number of times he stood out on the right wing waving his arms saying, pass the ball to me, and it never happened, it seemed quite strange. Particularly, like I said, the two times he did go at Knight Percival, he got past him quite easily.
He skipped through those three challenges, didn't he, first half, before cutting in and taking that shot which flew straight at the goalkeeper. And that was probably his main contribution, I would say. As I said, I just think with the way the game was going, especially second half, he just found it hard to get involved, didn't he? But I just thought, generally, it was, as you were saying, it was just nice to see Town dig in when they had to and just ground out the result, because obviously that was the concern at the start of the season. That's been the concern throughout. You know, we all know Town defensively can be a little bit frail at times. But I thought overall they did a good job. And you've got to remember that Peterborough, the abundance of talent, you know, the monopoly of riches, really, they've got in that midfield and up front. You know, Britt Sombolonga cost $1 million, you know, he's £1 million man. Lee Tomlin, he was linked by, I think he was close to a move to Celtic in the summer, and they were talking $1 million, $2 million. Tommy Rowe cost them a lot of money. And I think there's certain other players in that team who cost a lot of money. So you've just got to remember that, you know, obviously Swindon have gone a completely new way this season. You know, the budget's been cut dramatically, and they were playing against a team who you know, I know have been on a poor run of form, but really, given their squad and paper, should be up there. So for Town to do what they did yesterday and hold on to the win and ground it out the way they did was fantastic, I thought.
Yeah. I mean, it was strange, because obviously Nicky Jose returned, obviously, back in the Peterborough shirt. I mean, didn't necessarily have too much of an influence on the game.
No, he was buzzing around like he normally. But then he never really had massive influence in our games. Mm. Just happened to keep popping up in the right places.
Place, yeah.
It would have been interesting to see what reception he'd got had he scored. I think heard somewhere that he'd said he wouldn't celebrate too vigorously if he did score. Which, seeing as he only left a couple of weeks ago, is not surprising. But I think good luck to him. He's done job for us. He obviously, I think Lee Power said we had been paying 25% of his wages. They would have wanted 100% for us to keep him. We just couldn't do that. Yeah. So fortunately for us, though, he won't be able to play in the Johnson's Paint games, because obviously he's already played for us.
Yeah,
so,
he's cup-tied. Yeah,
that might work in our favour, perhaps.
That's true. Yeah. Second goal for Town obviously came against a run of play second half. Kazim. I mean, it's his second goal in successive home games. Yeah. After a hit, you know, he's had such a early part of the season, he's having various sort of shots and wasn't getting anywhere near scoring. Both of the ones now have come from edge of the box, sort of really good finishes, really, to kind of
but different goals, they weren't. Because obviously there was the volley against Coventry, and then
this one was all about the run. He was pretty much on the halfway line, and he just made that diagonal run, you know, and just completely. It's strange watching it back earlier today, just seeing how the poorly the Peterborough defence actually dealt with it. They just sort of didn't know what to do, really. They didn't really push him hard enough to force him out wide, and they just kind of just sat back, and he had so much time to size up the shot. But then it's credit to him that he managed to finish it off in the end. You've given the time, you've just got, you know, as a striker from that distance, the goalkeepers could still get a fingertip to it.
There was that big pocket of space, obviously, he was allowed to run into, wasn't it? And it was an exquisite finish, and it was, I think he's been maintaining to everyone in the press since day one that he's going to get double figures this season. So we were having a joke with him yesterday, saying he's, you know, got to start getting a move on and doing that every game if he's going to achieve that.
We've gone for eight home games or so if he carries on going away, it'll definitely get the 10.
But you know, it's good to see, you know, I think the podcast we did last after the Coventry game, obviously we were saying that he was starting to come back to form because he did dip off a little bit. But, you know, yesterday I thought he was good overall. His distribution was good. I thought he shielded the defence, you know, well enough. And it's good now he's developing that edge to his game to, you know, to make those runs forward and to support the, you know, likes of Ranger and Pritchard, and also make an impression on himself. And obviously that goal, you know, he said yesterday how important his goal was, because at the time Peterborough were rampant, really.
To say the least.
Seemed to be, I think that's an understatement, really. But I think, you know, there seemed to be no escaping from the fact that Peterborough were going to score and maybe go on and cause even more damage. So that goal was paramount, really.
And a crucial thing for a player in his position, his role within the team, is that when you do decide and you have the position to run forward, to make that run, you've got to make it pay, because otherwise, on the counter, as a team like Peterborough could be exploited in terms of a player defensive role that he has out of position. So
I think Peterborough players have probably been warned to worry about Luongo and Mason making similar runs, and perhaps not so much about Kassim, because perhaps they viewed Kassim as more the player who's just going to pass the ball as opposed to make the run. So I'm well up for Yasser to keep doing that, and if he can, say, tuck it away nicely into the bottom corner from the edge of the area more often, then happy days.
Happy. Right, Rafael Rossi Branco's first start for Town. I mean, that's the first time I've seen him this season. I didn't watch the Plymouth game, the JPT that he played, and I didn't go to Bradford. I was so happy about what I saw, really. I mean, he was composed on the pitch, and we talked earlier about the tackles that he made to keep Town in it. He just didn't look out of place as a player, and it just got, you know, I said on the last podcast, you know, we need to get another centre back in transfer window. Well, early days, but Ian, do you think he kind of is that player? Do we need to actually still go out there and hunt for another?
No, I don't think we do. I mean, because obviously we got Troy on his way back as well, so you've got the options there. I think it's a bit too early to get too carried away with Branco. I mean, I think the difference, I read somewhere, the difference is the confidence he's got now. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Bradford game, he's come in and done well. Having your first league start against, like we've already mentioned, Sombolonga, a £1.5 million player, and to have played that well, and he was so assured and just looked decent on the ball. I mean, like you'd expect a Brazilian centre-half to. But we shouldn't build him up too much after 2.5 games, but there's definitely something there, and he was brought in at the start of the season for his potential. So I mean,
all that I can do at the moment is just compare him to Hall and Ward, and I can't really see too much. I mean, okay, it's just one game. I'm getting carried away, as I always do. But I couldn't see too much different in between him and Hall, to be honest.
No, you certainly wouldn't look at him.
I mean, it's similar age, aren't they? Roughly.
I thought so. So probably not Darren Ward, but.
No, that goes without saying. Caveman as he is, but do you know what I mean, Andrew?
While
one has come from, you know, is on loan from Tottenham, is a big prospect apparently. Don't quite see that, but you know, certainly will slot in well, swing over time. The other one is a reject through being loaned to non-league teams.
Yeah,
I don't see. You know, they're quite comparable.
Yeah, well, don't forget Grant was at Brighton as well, obviously with Rafa and.
Yeah,
and obviously Kassim, and I think I agree with Ian as in that, you know, we shouldn't get too carried away, but I think praise is due where praise should be due, and I think yesterday it was a colossal performance from him, isn't it? I think to be honest, I was I know this is just going back on what I was saying, and this is getting a bit carried away, but I was running out of superlatives really yesterday to describe his performance, because he was immense. It was his first, first start. You know, it was a crucial game, really. I think yesterday it was sort of, because of all the excitement of the game itself, it was sort of lost on some people, I think, just how crucial that win was and where it's taken Town now. Because I think if Town would have lost that, then, you know, the playoffs, maybe it wouldn't have been out of sight, yeah. But it wouldn't have made their job any easier. I just think he was outstanding. Yeah. You know, we've mentioned his contributions already, but first half, obviously, Town lost possession. Asamoah Longa was darting downfield. He put a block in and prevented that.
And the point thing, because he's got good use of both feet, so he's got, if the striker's gone, he could go either way, and he can tackle him. You know,
he looks like the sort of bloke who's not afraid to put a foot in and throw himself in front of the ball, which is always. I mean, you wonder whether Hall at times is that sort of player who's gonna be throwing himself in front of shots, like getting his head in the way and that sort of stuff. Whereas Branko, just it would appear from yesterday, just would do whatever's necessary.
Cooper describes him as a monster and has described him as a monster quite a few times to the press, in terms of that he will go and put some ferocious challenges in if needs be. And it's also, yesterday wasn't the game where we saw a lot of it, but I know he's got a very good range of passing, a bit like Yasser, not quite at the same level, because obviously he is a defender, but obviously
we saw that
yesterday with obviously his ball for Nathan Burns' chance with the volley. But yeah, no, I just think his performance yesterday was colossal, and it's obviously, I think the centre back issue, which was a priority in the transfer window a few weeks ago, is now pretty much dead in the water, because obviously Troy's on his way back, and I think they're pretty set in that department now, I'd say.
I mean, the other thing that happened yesterday, of course, was the Peterborough goal, which was quite good from Knight Percival, wasn't it? I'd say at least it's lovely, especially when it comes off the inside of the bar. Was Tomlin throughout the game? I mean, my dad said at early stage he's going to get sent off today.
The whole game he was just constantly
always on at the referee,
but also his other players as well.
Yeah.
If he had the ball and he did something that didn't work, it wasn't his fault. It was because so and so wasn't here.
This is in the end when he pushed over Kazim, it was. It's a second booking.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But why? You know, he had the other booking for earlier. It was a tackle, wasn't it? That was in a bit late. But why? Oh goodness knows. We put him.
It was obviously just. They've lost four on the bounce now, haven't they?
Yeah,
so it was obviously a bit of frustration. But as you say, you can't do that.
No.
And
it was hilarious. It was like Jay McEvely a couple of weeks back, but Jay McEvely was substituted at one point because Cooper could see what was actually going to be happening, but.
But you see why, you can understand why Ferguson didn't want to take him off, because of the quality he's got. I mean, the shot that hit the post, and just generally when he got on the ball, you thought something's going to happen, and it did help us a bit that last 15 minutes perhaps he wasn't on the pitch because of the red card.
I've watched a lot of Tomlin during his career, and he's got all the talent in the world, and Cooper described in midweek as probably one of the best players in League One, and I wouldn't, disagree with that at all. But I think the problem, and I mentioned earlier that he was linked with a move to Celtic, and I know it's Peterborough who put a stop to that. But I think with Tomlin, as you could see yesterday, and he displayed it in the opening game of the season at their place, is that he seems to play with this fire in his belly, which I think if you took it away from him, he wouldn't be the player he was. But the thing is, it goes too far, and I think that is why he's still playing at League One level, because. He's still only young. I think he's 24, 25, something like that.
Yeah.
But yesterday, he was always on the referee, and as you've both said, you could tell that there was every chance he was going to get himself in trouble and talk himself into a stupid red card, which he did. But obviously that shot he had, which was obviously brilliantly teed up by Jose, by the way, which crashed off the crossbar, just showed the threat he carried all throughout yesterday. Yeah. So,
and the other comedy moment yesterday was the dugout melee, which was brilliant. Gotta love those.
Yes.
But it's just handbags in the end, and their goalkeeper coach gets sent off, which is great, because earlier in the season it was Fraser Digby for us against.
But it was because Longo was just sort of following the ball off the pitch, and then all of a sudden, I don't know if it was there. It was somebody from their bench.
Yeah, it was the goalkeeper coach initially who came up and he tried to kick the ball.
Yeah, it looked like he kind of kneed Luongo in the thigh or something. I just thought, that's very odd. And then it would... I mean, obviously, had the sending off not happened a few minutes ago, it might not have flared up quite so much, but it will make it interesting come the two games in the coming weeks.
Yeah, and the JPT sets that up well. I mean, the first leg's 5th of February. Don't know when the second leg is yet, but it's away first, isn't it? It's at Peterborough. So, I mean, it just puts a bit of spice. Obviously, teams going to Wembley. But yeah, with both games now, Swindon actually having the upper hand, whether we can hold on to do that in the other two games, looking tricky, but
it's going to be interesting. Those two games, for sure.
Yeah. So I mean, elsewhere in League One yesterday, it's fantastic to see Swindon sort of keeping pace with the playoff places. Peterborough dropping down to 6th now, and Brentford, Leighton Orient, and Wolves still continue to win at the top, and it's pretty much looking like they're going to be pushing ahead now. For a chance for automatic promotion. Any other sort of standout results for you yesterday, Ian, in the division?
No, nothing really stood out. I mean, Orient continued to. I mean, was it 4 goals again yesterday? But I think they've scored 4 against Carlisle in the last 3 games, so perhaps not too much of a surprise. And so, no, nothing stood out that shocked me, to be honest. It kind of followed what you'd expect.
Yeah, and of course, midweek Towner at Stevenage. That's a rearranged game, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I mean, they're bottom now and starting to get a bit of drift of safety. You know, we've been quite good on recent trips to Stevenage. There was the 4-0 win, wasn't it, a couple of years ago?
Miles Storey grabbed 2. I think it was 2, wasn't it?
And obviously
John Bostock got on the score sheet. I think the Stevenage Tuesday is going to be another real test of Town's character, because, you know, if they win, they'll get into the playoffs. But you know, they're going to really have to sort of go there, roll their sleeves up from start to finish, and really dig in. You know, Stevenage are going to be fighting for their life from Tuesday to the end of the season now. Mm. So,
but ultimately, you know, if we're fighting for the victories against the big boys, as we touched on earlier, when we're playing the bottom of the table side away, I'm not sure on their exact form, but no doubt it's pretty rubbish. Mm-hmm. They're the games we really have to be coming away with victory, because the away form's been so poor. So we have got a lot of the weaker sides away between now and the end of the season.
I think Stevenage have also, because they progressed in the cup, haven't they? So they, I think they are home to Everton next round. So they kind, if they have one eye on that in a few weeks, then perhaps potentially that will help us come Tuesday.
Mm. To be honest, I mean, you know, League One survival would always be my priority, even if Tower in that situation. So
they but you can't. I think the players have probably, like say, got one eye on the game in a few weeks' time. So,
and then Town away at Gillingham. I mean, their form's improved since. Who's their manager now? It's not Peter Taylor again, is it?
Good question.
Yes, it is.
I think it is.
Peter Taylor for the 21st time at Gillingham. And then it'd be Andy Hessenthaler again, of course. It's how things go there. But I mean, last time Swindon played at Gillingham was to get promoted.
Win promotion.
But did we lose that day?
Yeah, we lost. It was like
3-1.
Yeah, McCormack scored that the long distance goal, but we still got promoted because everyone else decided to lose that day as well. I mean, like I said earlier, we're only at early stage in the transfer window. We've only had George Barker signed so far, the striker. He did appear. Was he on the bench yesterday?
He was on the bench yesterday.
When's this Michael Ngoe going to sign then? Andrew, you did report that the other day.
Well, I know that talks took place between the player and Lee Power in the week up in Liverpool. Now, obviously, I believe talks went well, but I think with the whole Rangers situation,
Essentially, it's going to rest upon Rangers' contract being cancelled, or...
Well, I think, obviously, Ranger, for now, is going to be staying at the club. Obviously, he's got his court case, but I know Cooper said yesterday that they're still looking for another striker to basically come in, so if anything does happen with Ranger, they've got someone there. But
and they've got the emergency loan window after January anyway. Yeah. If something was happening, I don't know how long this court case is going to last, but... it could be on, you know, the 5th of February. I don't know how quick these things go, and it, you know, it doesn't work with the transfer window. But
I don't think there's any rush to bring in another strike. I know they're looking at one. I think the only problem we'd have with Michael Ngoo now is the main reason Liverpool recalled him from his loan spell at Yeovil this season was because he wasn't getting games, and obviously Liverpool want to send him to a club where he's going to play week in, week out now.
But we've been able to do that with the Tottenham loanees, haven't we? I presume that would have been part of the arrangement that Town were able to give the Spurs the actual assurance.
But
that
I just think with the way Town play, they're only going to play with one number nine out there, aren't they? So if Ranger is sticking around, obviously I know, again, you know, we keep saying you can't rely on how long now Ranger's going to stick around, but I think that may be a potential sticking point. But we'll see. Like I said, I don't think they're in a rush to bring in another striker. I know they'd like to.
I mean, Ian, is striker the main position that Town do need to strengthen in this transfer window?
I don't know, actually. I mean, obviously El Gabas has gone, and Jose's gone, and you would think Barker's come in your Jose's place. You would think we'll probably... I mean,
we got Story back. Cooper's been on about playing Connor Waldron. I mean, you know, there is like Caden Jackson you could bring back as well as another kind of a lively, you know, forward, so to speak. It's the number nine, isn't it, really?
And as Andrew said, it completely depends on what happens with Niall, but if he's still here till the end of the season, then you'd think Ngoo won't get much of a look in. I think it'd still be nice to have somebody, because Nguessen, for all his hard work yesterday, didn't do an awful lot going forward, didn't look too much of a threat. I think he had one shot second half.
But he wasn't really playing. I mean, Towner played for a short time as a 4-4-2 yesterday. It's more 4-5-1,
I'm a bit concerned that we don't have... I mean, obviously, having not seen Barker play, I know he scored midweek in the development game. Do we have a player like a Jose who's going to get a goal every other game by being in the right place? I'm not sure we do at the moment. I don't think Story is necessarily a poacher. So I think probably Cooper, it's already been said, Cooper is looking for another striker, but it's be interesting to see which type of player he's looking to bring in if it's not Ngoo from Liverpool.
Okay. I mean, any other... Well, the rumours so far have only been about strikers or what's to happen about the I mean, that's been the key, really. You know, it's, we've got Reece coming back anyway as a wide player. You know, if something happened to Pritchard, if he continued to play on the wing, then we've got a bit of a filler for that position.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I didn't see him at the start of the season because I was on holiday, so I didn't see Tijani at all play. So I've got room, nothing to go on, but people were raving about him at the time a bit, were they? Or he looked, or looking back, he wasn't.
Again, it's hard to base it on the few games that you saw him in, but
it's a useful, useful player lively coming back, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think with the, I know Cooper has said that obviously, you know, the strike has been the main one. That I think they're certainly looking to bring one in and maybe two. Now that second signing, obviously at one time was thought to be in the centre back positions, which I don't think will be now. I think they could still look at the defence. You know, maybe in the full back areas. Obviously, I think the problem with Town is that they've just signed George Barker now, so that's another young player added to the squad, so that's sort of taken the balance away a bit. Obviously there wasn't really much of a balance there anyway between experienced and young players, so you know, they could look to bring in, you know, maybe an experienced player at the back somewhere. I know with Jay, you know, he's going to be out for a month with his knee, but now his knee's gone again, you know, do we know how long it's going to last? You know, he's put, you know, a lot of time and a lot of effort in trying to strengthen that knee, but now he's picked up another knock to it. We don't know if it's going to go back to the way it was, and him being out for large periods. So whether they look to
need a left back in, or whether it's going to, you know, continue for like Nathan Byrne to deputise there potentially. But
my personal opinion is they need to bring in another experienced head for the second part of the season. I think Town have got all the ability in the world to make those playoffs, but I do think they could do with another experienced head just to help guide those young players through, because I think we, you know, that Town side are going to have to battle a lot in the second half of the season. You know, we've got a lot, you know, we've got Wolves, we've got Preston still to come to the County Ground, we've obviously got the away game at Bristol City. So my personal preference would be obviously another striker, and it would be a number nine for me. You can't rely on Niall, and I think that's a fair thing to say on his record this season so far. Yeah.
But I mean, three weeks left of the window, so
plenty of time.
For stuff to really kind of
you just got to hope that it's fruition. The only thing that happens is incomings rather than outgoings, because I think we don't want to repeat it last year where you lose your best player on the
day before deadline. For different reasons.
I understand that, but it would be another kick in the teeth to get to the 30th of January and find that Pritchard or somebody along those lines is moving somewhere else, and we've got.
Do you think then that Richie, as a player, would have last season would have made a difference for us in actually getting to Wembley and then getting promoted?
Without a doubt, I think the contribution he had to the team in terms of assists and goals would have. I'm not saying we'd have got up automatically if we'd still had the financial problems, and if he didn't go, somebody else would have gone. But you look at the team towards the end. I mean, obviously, McDonald brought in the Tottenham players, changed the system. But I still think the system that he was playing towards the end of last year, Richie would have fitted into and would have contributed. Because, I mean, Roberts contributed slightly.
It's just interesting, really, because, what's so crucial. But, there's multiple reasons last year why it all went a bit wrong. But, I mean, the other thing this week, positive news for the Supporters Trust, and that the Asset of Community Value application was successful.
Yep, I did see that. If I'm honest, I'm not 100% sure what that means. So
that's right.
Well, Ron, I'm kind of relying on you.
I know. Well, I'm on the Trust board, and I submitted the application, so I can give it. But yeah, I mean, essentially what it means is that should the County Ground ever come up for sale, then the Supporters Trust would be notified that it's going to be sold, and that then the supporters would have an opportunity to have a right to bid for the facility if they wanted to.
Okay.
Now, with the County Ground isn't actually owned by the football club, it's owned by the Borough Council, and that the club don't have much of a lease on it at the moment. So, decisions for the Supporters Trust on how and when this will be used, but the key message for all supporters is that the Supporters Trust will always continue to support the club, and that the designation doesn't affect any rights to redevelop the ground, and the Trust will always want to work with the club to actually secure that it's used appropriately. So it's been used in other areas, principally say Oxford at the Kassam, because the worry there is that Firoz Kassam has got no interest in the club at the moment because he owns the ground, and that the football club could be homeless because he could turf them out. So it just provides him with an ability there to protect the club staying in Oxford, and to have an opportunity to buy the ground, or it gives him a saving grace to find somewhere new to go, really.
So who's got their... who is it who's gone ahead and got their ACV? Have they got the Supporters Trust as well?
Right, okay. Yeah. And it's been achieved at other places. Well, Anfield is also got this designation, Old Trafford. So the County Ground is the 15th successful sports stadium in the country to be granted one of these status, really.
Have you had any comment from the club?
We notified the club that the decision's been made.
Yeah.
The Trust chairman contacted the current managing director. I can't remember his name, actually.
Mark Isaacs?
No.
Steve Anderson notified them
that it's been made, but I'm not aware of any comment back from the club. But it's quite sort of positive news, really, in terms of it just gives an added layer of protection. There's these covenants on the ground anyway that... Yeah. I mean, it can only be used for recreational sporting purposes anyway, so just nice to join a growing band of facilities going to be protected. And the Supporters Director said that they expect the majority of football grounds in the country to be subject to this status at some point.
So well done, Ron.
Thank you very much.
Well done, Ron.
And the Trust.
thank you. Right. Pretty much all we've got to talk about this week, really. Well, thanks for joining me on the podcast. Thanks to Ian and Andrew.
No worries.
And probably speak to you in a couple of weeks. Who have we got? So we've got two away games, and then
Shrewsbury.
Shrewsbury at home on that Saturday. So, speak to you in a fortnight then. Bye.